Hey, this is Chuck Dixon, and you're listening to Signal of Doom.
Well, you know, for me, the action is the juice. I'm in.
Is everybody in? Is everybody in? Everybody in. The ceremony is about to begin.
Hello and welcome to Signal of Doom Jump Shots, my new initiative that I'm rolling out. Hi, you're here with Dave Solo. And Jump Shots is a new thing that I've invented in Stu's absence. He calls it Dave Spins His Wheels, but I call it Jump Shots. And pretty much it's going to be short, snappy takes. Maybe I'll do one a week for the next few weeks. So expect a really short, snappy little show. And it won't in any way be replacing the weekly show that we do. This is just basically something, you know, extra basically for listeners. Now this week I want to get through some business first. This week I'll be recording with my mate Dion. He's been on the show once before from memory. He'll be doing a full show with me, and we'll be doing that next Monday night in Australia. So the show will drop a little later, which is why I wanted to do a Jump Shots, to basically let listeners, you know, enjoy my dulcet tones during the week, get you over that weekend, and then eventually you can swing in like Spidey in the black suit and you can enjoy the full show that'll be with Dion basically next Monday. So, look, the first item I have on my agenda is recently going through a really big Wolverine phase. It kind of came out of nowhere, just an accumulation of people saying the word Wolverine around me over the course of about a two-week period, and he just got inside my head. The Cat in the Hat strikes back. It's my cat, Wade. I love him very much, but he's very beautiful, very fluffy, and very demanding. He takes after his owner. Now, okay, so, look, people just said the word Wolverine around me, and I was like, man, I need to get back into Wolverine hard, which is hard to do because Marvel insists on not giving us a solo ongoing, a point I have brought up to C.B. Sebowski himself on Twitter, who replied, wait and see. Okay, well, we've waited, C.B., and Wolverine Infinity Watch ain't doing it, okay? We want a Wolverine solo title. Anyway, I don't really mean to rag on them because I know it's coming and we just have to be patient. Do I think it's been mishandled and allowed to lay dormant for too long? And do I think the reintroduction was terrible? Yes and yes. Chucky Soul gives us nothing more than 5.5 out of 10 on almost any book he's involved with. Death of Wolverine was lackluster and barely above average. Return of Wolverine was worse. Chucky Soul needs to stay away from the title. Okay, get him off the title. We don't want him. Wolverine fans out here are saying, give me some fucking good Wolverine. Don't give him this Hot Claws bullshit and Infinity Watch garbage. Like, no. Hell no. Just bring me Logan back. Like, look at Greg Rucka's Wolverine run. And I want to mention this, Jason Aaron's Wolverine run. So basically I had this kind of thing where I was like, man, I need to get back in hard. Went and picked up my Wolverine complete collection of Jason Aaron Volume 1. It's awesome. You see the issue which he won as a talent contest that got him the door into Marvel. You see a really cool Wolverine story that kicks it off where Wolverine's in this pit and just being fired upon and like trapped in the pit and how he gets out of that. There's one of my favorite Wolverine stories in modern times which depicts basically a week in the life of Wolverine. And just how stretched thin he is and a lot of interactions very briefly told. Jason Aaron really had a handle on the character from the beginning. People who listen to Signal know that I consider Jason Aaron one of the preeminent writers at Marvel. I dare say he's the best writer there and has been for some time. I think he's consistent. He rarely, if ever, lets anyone down. His independent work outside of Marvel in things such as Scalped is extremely good. He's an extremely good writer. His Thor is some of the best. It's my favorite Thor I've ever read by a long way. His Wolverine is top league. He's competing with the Frank Millers, the Greg Ruckers. He's competing with the top echelon of Wolverine writers. Larry Hammer. There's a guy. I'd love to see him, Wolverine. And our wishes were granted this week because Wolverine Exit Wounds is coming out, which features stories from Chris Claremont and Larry Hammer as well. So thank Jesus Christ for that. But talking more about Weapon X Wolverine. So that was this is a Wolverine that I had read a little bit of at the time, but not much. Weapon X is kind of the imprint title that Jason runs with after a little while. Really interesting and a lot of variety and experimentation and just a sense that Marvel at that point in time knew what they were doing, as opposed to now where they just don't seem to have any handle at all on Wolverine. They're just hoping and praying that Jonathan Hickman can sort it all out, and he probably can, being Jonathan Hickman. But there's a really cool arc that kicks things off with the Weapon X program, and a very kind of 90s feel. The second arc is potentially more interesting, very much a One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, mental health, mental patient, kind of in a mental ward, Wolverine story. Really, really kind of full-on, dark, darkly comic at times. Really good run, and then some really good issues, almost like one-shots that feature like Wolverine with his rotating cast of gal pals, and he has a new girlfriend. And Jason Aaron just weaves a really compelling story. Then there's this awesome, awesome arc with Deathlok. Now, listeners to the show will know that I recently purchased for a bargain Deathlok Complete Collection, which is I'm loving. I'm reading it. I'm by my bedside, and I'm kind of scanning a few pages per night. This brings Deathlok into the Marvel universe of whenever Jason Aaron was doing it, probably around 2010, somewhere around there. Compelling, really good. It's five-star Wolverine. And considering we don't even have Wolverine right now in the regular titles, like he doesn't have a regular book, I just still can't understand that. I still think that's just the return of Wolverine has been as bungled as any return I've ever seen. The return of Superman is actually very interesting. And the return of Wolverine is extremely lackluster and just shows you that Marvel don't have sort of there's a lack of vision, and there's a desperate need for someone to come in and fix things. And Jonathan Hickman coming in, I think, could be the answer. He at least will have the courage and the vision that he can carry something out. He doesn't lack that. So thank God for that because it's been middling for far too long. And that said, I did enjoy Tom Taylor's all-new Wolverine with X-23. I thought it was very good. And if anyone was going to get on the main title, solo ongoing for Logan, I hope it's him. Now, Ray had some questions about Wolverine. Shout out to Ray. Always a fan. We're always a fan. He's always a fan of us. It's two kings ruling together, I like to say, with us. And there's just this alliance that could rule the world. Now, he's asking when will Wolverine come into the MCU, into the movies, i.e. how many years? I think within 2 to 3. Even less probably, 1 to 2. I mean, I don't think it's going to be an incredibly long time. I think they'll want to get all their eggs sorted, so probably more like 2, but yeah, I think it's coming. And I don't think it's going to be anything like what Stu's saying, like, oh, this shit about clones and no Logan. Fuck that. Fuck that noise. No offense to Stu. Just my opinion. Just my take. I think we'll have Wolverine, yeah, within a couple of years. I haven't got an exact timeline. I'm not staring at release dates. It's just a feeling. I think they'll seed them. I think Wolverine will be one of the first seeded. And I think it'd be fantastic. He also said something about, like, you know, will we see Wolverine's hot claws again? I hope I never see Wolverine's hot claws again. I'm not reading Infinity Watch because it's just a pile of bullshit. I did it on the show and it was honestly one of the worst comics I've read on the show. It was terrible. And, I mean, at least in Uncanny X-Men, you have Wolverine scenes that make sense. And Matthew Rosenberg's doing a very decent job in keeping things tidy until Jonathan Hickman comes on and blows us all the way. So, yeah, I have no time at all for Wolverine's hot claws. I think they're absolute hot trash. I think it's a company bereft of ideas, bereft of vision, bereft of courage. It's an absolute travesty what they've done to the character. and how far they've let it fall from how high it was riding with Jason Aaron, and the amount of good work that he did in comics like Wolverine and the X-Men. I've got the Omnibus. It's fantastic. You look back at some of the stuff Larry Hama did, but it's put out in Epic Collections. I mean, it's just so much better. And there are writers out there who could do it. Chucky Soule, stay away. You've had a go and you've been fucking average. Jonathan Hickman called X-Men continuity random, unconnected gibberish. Look, I think it's a fair point. I think it's a point that could be put at almost any superhero title that's gone on for that long, though. I think Spider-Man, and I love Spider-Man, I think you could say the same thing, because like stuff that happened in the 70s, it's kind of forgotten or shelved, and you know, like it's like we're always modernizing, updating Spider-Man, and everything's like in this compressed timeline, so it really is gibberish if you're trying to do like a proper narrative, like a historical narrative. It's pretty much like, excuse me for yawning. It's almost like a writer comes on and they just decide, I think you have to do this as a writer. You have to decide what you're going to piggyback off, what's your vision going to be, what key events were important to your story that happened in the past, and you move from there. The Drew Geraces out there will probably say, what about continuity? And I hear that, but I just think with like that many years of continuity, it's overwhelming, and you know, they have to do it the way they kind of do it. They could do it better. Marvel could certainly do things a lot better than they do them. But the basic philosophy, I think, has been that way since at least the probably 80s, if not before. And X-Men, with the amount of people on those teams and spin-offs and the 90s explosion of X-Men, don't forget that as well. Like on top of Claremont, then there was this explosion in the 90s. I consider myself an X-Men fan, but there are huge chunks of X-Men that I have not even touched. And will I ever touch? Well, potentially. The problem is you sometimes go back and read stuff from the 90s and it just doesn't hold up, whereas at the time it was popping off. I don't think it's the end of the world that he's saying that. I think that that's just a creator stating almost the obvious. It's a challenge. I don't know. I think there's a lot of hope with Jonathan Hickman that he can do something epic with the X-Men. It's been so long and it's been so lackluster. The last decent X-Men was the very beginning stages of Bendis' X-Men run, I thought was very readable in the beginning stages. It lost its way, but it certainly had a good beginning. Fraction had good moments. Brubaker was solid, not on it for long enough. Probably better on some of the sort of side titles. He did some good stuff, his Ed Brubaker. Grant Morrison was excellent. And before that, I'd go back to Claremont, you know? I really would skip a lot of stuff before then. I think Jonathan Hickman, when I look at his Fantastic Four, it was superb. I didn't care about Fantastic Four till I read that series and it wound up as in my top five comic runs. His Avengers was dense. I read it all. I felt it was probably overly long and stretched out towards the end, but it was still a very worthy read. I think X-Men's an even bigger challenge than either of those two properties. Fantastic Four has the advantage of being four characters and you can follow that storyline. And he really did a masterful job on Fantastic Four. If he can do anything like as good on X-Men, and I think he probably can, I think there's the characters there to do it. There's some wild stuff that happens in X-Men that can really be done well. I think it's time. It's time for a sort of rebirth of the X-Men under his watch. I feel sorry for you Matthew Rosenbergs out there who've done a decent job with a losing hand and they have to hand the keys over. So it's kind of, it's a tricky position to, I guess that's when you just think, well, I'm here for 15 issues, I'm just going to give it my best shot. And honestly, I found his X-Men very readable. Is it great? No, it's not great at all. It's like 7 out of 10 at best on a good day. 6.5 if we're being honest, but it's solid, you know. People review things now 5 out of 5 or 10 out of 10. And you're like, really? This is 10 out of 10? It's more like 7. Like, it's fine. Like, people forget 7 out of 10 is a decent score. Like, we're so used to overpraising and underpraising. 7 out of 10 is a decent score, you know? I'd give Matthew Rosenberg's run on X-Men every issue I've read probably a 7. And I think he's keeping the seat warm. Anyway, moving on. DC shuttered Vertigo. I'm going to cover this more on the next show with Dean. I want to talk to him about it, but 3 years after the departure of Karen Berger. It's been on life support ever since then. This is the imprint that brought a Sandman, Invisible Scalp, 100 Bullets, Transmetropolitan, and many others, Fables. It's an astoundingly successful imprint that basically launched the British invasion, or gave it a place to stay. Hellblazer, you know, your Morrison's, Garth Ennis was there. Jamie Delgado was there in the early days. Warren Ellis, Transmet, found a home there. A lot of Scalp, Jason Aaron, Azzarello, 100 Bullets. I mean, notice something? Heavyweights writing fantastic titles. Karen Berger knew what she was doing. She was brilliant. She was ahead of her time. She made her time, really. She crafted and gave a place for some of the most brilliant minds working in comics to flourish. I'm going to basically butcher a quote, but it was along the lines of corporate mind thinking, creative decisions don't go hand in hand. And it's so true. Like, the corporate nature of got to make a buck up against what were some very solid books that I think have sold well in bookstores too. It's a shame that Vertigo is being shuttered, but it's been dying for 3 years. So that's, you know, it's calling time on someone who's on life support. I want to talk about the Black Label imprint because obviously some of the stuff's going there, but then they've got this puritanical regime now with Warner's oversight ever since we saw the appearance of Bat Dick, which was just such a total non-event. Like for me, I still staggered that people think that that was such a, you know, earth-changing event. I mean, I've seen comics. Like Jason Aaron did a comic with Cain and Abel. I forget what it was called, actually. But it had, like, full frontal male nudity coming from Image Comics. And I don't recall quite the level of outrage. The Batman stuff was very, 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 I don't know, muted. And a decent title, Batman Damned One, and it was ridiculous the amount of like how must Azzarello feel like with his story? Like, you wouldn't even want to do it to preserve a relationship with DC. You've got to put these books out, but they're being subject to this ridiculous kind of level of corporate oversight. Why? I mean, clearly there was a market for it. Clearly, Vertigo flourished. You know, it explored themes of identity, some really wicked fucking themes in Invisibles, all stuff about the future, the demon gods kind of inside our reality, you know, inside our minds. Just some wicked stuff. And to try to worry if that's going to be, some of it's going to be R-rated, it's such a non-concern to me. Like, it's just really like it's shouting at clouds. Like, clearly it sold well enough to continue and it sells well in bookstores to sort of shutter that down. Oh, no, we must only have our superheroes and they must only be for 12-year-olds and under. Oh, it's just so desperate. Like, no, because if people want to read that, let them read it. Like, and the competition that's now sprung up is proof that there's a market for it. And it just feels like DC just bungled it and mishandled it and didn't know how to cut good creative deals after, like, you know, your Karen Bergers had left, like, tried to shackle people to sort of not create their own deals. And it just feels like they've lost out themselves. And the competition, well, the artists will go to the competition. Like, why would you stay with Vertigo if you can get a better deal across the street? I don't understand sometimes the moves that DC have made there. Regardless, nothing can take the books away that have already been made. And that's why I'm so anti-censorship and why I'm so anti, like, this sort of puritanical, like, we must cleanse the books. No, let it flourish. If it doesn't find a market, it doesn't find a market. But I like it that sort of it's like a laboratory feel. Like, there was a sense of experimentation there. You look now and Image are doing that. Aftershock are doing that. Dark Horse are doing that. How did DC fall so far behind the curve when it came to that? How did they let such gold slip away? Why isn't Grant Morrison got two or three titles pumping out through them? Like, really? Like, wouldn't you give him the deal? Like, what does he need to do to prove that he can shift copies? Hasn't he done it many, many times on many titles? But clearly they made a decision from upstairs, and no, I don't support it at all, and I think that they bungled it, frankly. Just a couple of small items in jump shots as I'm moving on, because this is supposed to be a shorter show. We're already at 20 minutes. Out of the computer, have you seen this rumor / theory that Jake Gyllenhaal will actually end up being Dr. Doom? I had not heard that theory at all, if not Adam hadn't brought it to my attention. I think that it's hilarious. I think it's almost no chance of being true. I think the twist will be that Mysterio is just a bad guy, but I could be wrong. I think it would be cool. I like the fact that then Jake Gyllenhaal, such a major actor, is connecting to what should be a linchpin villain character for the MCU moving forward, Dr. Doom. But no, I don't think it's going to happen, and I don't know where Adam the computer digging this kind of stuff up from the dark web, perhaps. We also had that Red Sonja film replaces Bryan Singer with Transparent creator Jill Soloway. Amid sexual abuse allegations, Singer was dropped from the project, leaving with that director for months. Well, as a Conan fan, and I also love Red Sonja, I'm happy to hear that another gifted creator is coming on to basically helm this project, and I hope it hits cinemas, and I hope it happens, and I will definitely support it. Red Sonja is a fantastic character. She's more than the female Conan. She is the female Conan, but there's more to her own story as well. She's an excellent character. Wanted to mention this Netflix Rome show. I've been watching this with Michelle, who's perhaps not as big a fan of me, but I dig it. Like, it's historical reenactments with the narrator, Sean Bean, of James Bond GoldenEye fame, and obviously season one Game of Thrones fame, amongst many other things. Really interesting show. We're about five episodes in. It's telling the story of Commodus. Is that how you say his name? The son of Marcus Aurelius, and famously the villain from Gladiator. Just a really interesting behind-the-scenes look at how Rome was going. And there's a lot more to this program, and I'm going to keep watching. And if Michelle bails out, she bails out, and I keep rolling. I recommend it. Netflix, Rome, check it out. Now, just wanted to talk about some sort of titles upcoming to do in the next 9 weeks or however long Stu's away. Wouldn't mind doing a King Conan title at some point. If anyone out there, you Michael Killershims, guys like that, you know, big Conan fans, have a King Conan title, and perhaps potentially the more recent King Conan stuff from, I believe, Timothy Truman. Also, I'm looking at doing an Alien Legion storyline that Chuck Dixon did. I love Alien Legion, and he did a good storyline. There's Hitman by Garth Ennis. I've read a fair chunk of Hitman, and I think I might just do a trade of it on the show and really pick it apart. We're also going to have, as I said, Dion on the show. This is happening next Monday night. Dion's a big Joker fan, and we're really going to dig into the mind, the disordered mind of a major Joker fan, and what does he idolize and see about the Joker. And we're also doing a Chuck Dixon and Graham Nolan and Scott Hanna joint called Joker Devil's Advocate from the sort of mid to late 90s story, a very interesting storyline about Batman and Joker. And I think that will be very, very cool. Our trade of the week, because Devil's Advocate's like about a 90-pager, and I put in there so Dion and I can really get deep into it. But we're also doing American Vampire Volume 1 by Scott Snyder and Raphael Albuquerque. I've already read it. I won't reveal my hand, but I'm really looking forward to getting into that with Dion. Ray mentioned Predator Bad Blood as his recommendation for us. Well, recently, Ray, I picked up a really fucking cool Predator collection, and I don't know if Predator Bad Blood's in it, but I will check that out. And yeah, I'm happy to do that for you, Ray. It's also got the... I know it includes the graphic novelization of Predator 2. Now, Ray and I are both big fans of Predator 2. I love Predator 2. Not as much as Predator 1, but if Predator 1 is like about 150 out of 100, Predator 2 is like 110. I love Predator 2. And Ray's also said a Valiant comic. Well, that's fine, man, and I'm sure there's like a ton of good Valiant, and I know friends of mine have pointed stuff out before, but point me, Ray, to what you consider good Valiant. I know The Eternal Warrior is supposed to be really good. Archer and Armstrong. I know there's good titles. I haven't read them at all. Is there one called Bloodshot? Maybe that one. Anyway, Ray, you can definitely recommend a title to do. Now, the other thing I wanted to do is I want to, in my jump shots, if I'm going to bother to do them, I want to give listeners a taste of what we're actually going to do in Weekly Comics so that you guys can actually enjoy the Weekly Comics. And so this week, it's pretty simple. As I said, we're doing Joker's Devil's Advocate. So check out, get a hold of that. It's available online. Conan the Barbarian 6 and 7 and Wolverine Exit Wounds 1. They're our Weekly Comics. So two Conans, two recent Conan the Barbarians from Jason Aaron. And we're also doing a Wolverine collection of new stories by Chris Claremont, Larry Hama, and someone else I can't remember. So, yeah, three sort of classic creators are doing three new Wolverine tales and Wolverine Exit Wounds. So I'll definitely check that out. Larry Hama, I just want to tell you, he's Wolverine. He's probably some of my all-time favorite Wolverine. He also wrote a really – I want to give this pitch for Larry Hama. On top of his G.I. Joe work, and I wouldn't mind doing some G.I. Joe on the show either, he did wrote a really good novel about vampires recently. Type into Amazon Larry Hama Vampire, and it'll bring up the novel. It's really, really good, actually. You know what? I'm going to do Larry Hama a solid and actually bring up the actual title of the whole book, assuming my my computer plays nice with me. I'm operating on a new laptop from Michelle, and just every single time you want something to be quick, it's just not. You know, like suddenly the internet decides to stop working whenever I want to use it. Okay, I'm typing this in, and this is my new style now, which we're doing on the show, where Dave's doing, like, you know, sort of, I think it's called, like, it's not Queen of the Damned, because that's the, yeah, what a surprise. Like, Larry Hama, Vampire, like, what I love about the fucking internet is you'll type in, like, I typed in Larry Hama, Vampire. Why is it bringing me up G.I. Joe Classics? Yeah, like, once again, it's just refusing to play nice. Larry Hama, vampire novel. Like, how much more exact do I have to get? Like, and it's such a good storyline. I think it's called Queen of Something, from memory. But, like, there we go. I found it. The Stranger, Amon Diaz and the Queen of the Undead. Honestly, check this out. It is really good. I read it when I was in Hawaii, and I wanted to read, like, how can I say? Like, I was sort of like, I'll read a few pages before bed. I remember at one point just reading it right through the night. I read it for about 3 or 4 hours straight. It's really good. So check that out, The Stranger. Type in Larry Hama, The Stranger, and then maybe Queen of the Undead, and it'll come up. I highly recommend that to listeners out there. Okay, so look, that's the new. Tell me what you guys think of Jump Shots. I can come harder at the ball next time. I just wanted to kind of like let you sink in, get a feeling of this is just Dave on the run. Dave on the run. You know, to the tune of Band on the Run, which is that wasn't in tune of, but I will. I just wanted to give you guys a feel, an insight into the mind. And I'll put this up tomorrow. And next Monday night, Dean and I'll be there. We'll have a full show. He's an old mate of mine. I'm sure we'll be arguing back and forth. Everyone should really enjoy it. And it's a real honor to have him here. Other than that, thank you for listening very much to Jump Shots. And follow us on Signal of Doom Facebook page. Follow me at RedLantern2051 on Twitter. There's also Signal of Doom on Twitter as well. You can give that a follow. Proud member of the collective. I am your target demographic. Inner Demons. You know, the Moon Knight guys. Into the Night, lots of genies is there, performing all sorts of magic tricks. Okay, good night, peace out.
That's great, it starts with an earthquake, birds and snakes and airplane. Lenny Bruce is not afraid. I have a hurricane, listen to yourself, churn world, serve its own needs, dummy, serve your own needs, beat it up a notch, speak, grunt, no strength, the ladder starts to clatter with. Fury's beating down your neck. Team, my team, reporters, babble, Trump, Tether, Prop, look at that, no plane, fine, then, overflow, population, comment, book, what it'll do, save yourself, serve yourself, world, serve its own needs, listen to your heartbeat, dummy with the rapture and the reverend and the right, right, you patriotic, slam, fight, bright, light, feeling, pretty sight.
It's the end of the world as we know it, it's the end of the world. It's the
foreign tar, slash and burn, return. Listen to yourself churn. Lock it in, uniform and book burning, blood letting. Every motive escalate, automotive incinerate. Light a candle, light a motor, step down, step down. Watch your heel crush, crush, uh-oh. This means no fear, cavalier, renegade, steering clear. A tournament, a tournament, a tournament of lies. Offer me solutions, offer me alternatives, and I decline. It's the end of the world. Divide mountains, sit in a line, Leonard Bernstein, Leonard Brezhnev, Lenny Bruce and Lester Banks, birthday party, cheesecake, jelly bean, boom, symbiotic, patriotic, slam, button, nap, right? It's the end of the world as we know it.